answer prayers. I think we all saw that this week, some people who were ill and personal circumstances in one's life. You can never pray too much or speak to God too often. We're continuing today in the Why series. And we've been looking at why did God choose Joseph? Why did God choose Mary? And today we're going to look at why me? But just as God chose Mary and Joseph and so came and so interrupted their lives, today Christ is coming to you and me, and he's going to come and he's going to interrupt our life, and he's going to call us to bear and to carry the gospel message of Jesus Christ to all humanity. Because frankly, that's what the church was put here for. But there's always one question people ask, or one thing that always goes through people's minds. How do I know it's God speaking to me? How do I know it's not my own thoughts? We're going to look at that a little later on in the message. But right now, what is it that Christ is asking you to carry and birth for him? Mary and Joseph was asked to carry the Lord Jesus Christ. They were asked to keep this little boy in their home, to raise him, to nurture him, to care for him. But we need to also share in that ministry today. Let's review. Why did God choose Joseph? Well, we looked at Joseph, and the passage revealed that he was loyal, he was faithful, he was constant. You and I should be people of our word. If we say something, let's hold to that and be people of our word. When the angel appeared to Joseph and he was afraid, Joseph had to begin trusting God every single step of the way. Oftentimes in our life, we are filled with fears and anxieties, and we feel like we're just not capable of doing what God has called us to do. But rest assured, God has planned, God has prepared the way. And finally, Joseph did not put his own needs and desires above God and above Mary. He became selfless in his life. And so should we. Why Mary? Last week or a couple weeks ago, we saw that Mary was just a teenager. She would have probably been in 10th or 11th grade if she was in high school. Does God really call and use people when they're that young, when they're still in high school? Absolutely. God does call. God does use people when they're that young. When the angel came to Mary, he said, Mary, you are highly favored. The word highly favored is in Greek means charitu, and it's a form of the word grace, and it means to make graceful or to endow with grace or to be receptive of God's grace in one's life. And that's one of the reasons God chose to use Mary. And you and I, we need to learn to be receptive of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit touches us with something, to open ourselves up to God, to open ourselves up to that grace, because we also were chosen. We also are highly favored in the sight of God because we carry that Holy Spirit deep within us. How do we, and how did Mary respond to the grace that God gave her? She simply said, I am the Lord's servant. John Wesley responded through his covenant prayer, I am no longer my own, but yours. Maybe you remember the missionary that we looked at, Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India back in the late 1900s. When someone asked her to come to India and to join her team, her ministry was taking care of orphan children. She said, do not come unless you can say to the Lord and to us, the cross is the attraction. Our vocal point needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And last, Mary said, may your word to me be fulfilled. She didn't say, can your word to me be fulfilled? In your timing, may your word to me be fulfilled. And that's the same way we need to respond to God. Open up the path, prepare the way. May your word to me be fulfilled. Today, why me? And it's not a bad why me, because a lot of times when we say why me, we're throwing our hands up in the air. But why me? Why would you choose me, oh God? When I was a little girl, most of you know I'm from this area, but my mom would take my brother and me to school. We didn't start riding a bus until we were in sixth grade because there was no bus to ride. We went to Mansfield Christian School. We lived out on the north end of town, and the Christian school was on the south end of town. And we would always cut through woodland. And back then, woodland was just kind of the iconic area of Mansfield. It was what we would call, and perhaps how the South refers to it, as the old money in Mansfield. And as a kid, I would look at the houses and I would think, I wonder who lives in those houses. And because you never saw any people, and still you don't. I've never seen anybody in woodland in all my life. I think it's just cardboard houses or something. I don't know. But you never see people. But I thought, wow, I wonder who those people are. And I think that's what we think sometimes in our mind, or that we believe as Christians, that God can use people in these perfect houses or this perfect area of town, as it was known. God can talk to those people, but God can't use me. God will never talk to me, this little girl being tracked clear across town in the morning, having to get up 45 minutes earlier to get to school. God can't use me. We think God has gifted others, but God hasn't gifted me. And unfortunately, many Christians go on thinking that throughout their life. They never become responsive to that grace, to that nudging that God is instilling or tugging at their heart with, and they never fulfill the plan that God has for them. Ephesians 1:11 simply says, for he chose us in advance, and he will make everything work out. And we just need to believe that. We need to stop looking so much at the future and live each day, one day at a time. Amy Carmichael, the lady I just spoke about, said this: it is a safe thing to trust God to fulfill the desire that he creates deep within you. I want to ask you today, what desire is the Holy Spirit creating deep within you today? Today's passage is found in Luke 2, verses 8 through 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not fear. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. God, I ask you now to begin to work in our hearts and our lives and to let us know how highly favored how important we are in your sight, how each individual has a call, how our church corporately has a call. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, we more or less take it for granted that the shepherds are part of the Christmas story. If we all of a sudden cut the shepherds out, then we'd have to chop off our nativity scenes with the little shepherd and the staff and all of that. We assume that, but back then it wasn't assumed that the Savior of the world or that this angel would appear to these shepherds. And we need to look at perhaps why God chose to appear to the shepherds. And there's many explanations. Many scholars have many explanations for why God chose to use the shepherds. One being is that Jesus Christ was referred to and would be referred to as the Good Shepherd, and we are his sheep. Another being reason is that Jesus comes from David's lineage, and King David was also a shepherd. Some scholars believe that the occupation of being a shepherd is one of the lowest positions, or it's a very, very humble position to carry, and that's why God chose the shepherds. But for you and me, for today, the shepherds represent us, the waitresses, the doctors, the lawyers, the people in the service industry, the youth leaders, the blue-collar workers, the white-collar workers. The shepherds represent humanity today. And the fact that we are fortunate enough to know and really understand the Christmas story puts us far ahead of the shepherds back then, because we know what Easter represents or what Resurrection Sunday represents. And you really can't talk about Christmas without talking about the resurrection, because one without the other would not put us where we are today. So you always need to remember that. And I was so happy to see the cross that was put with the nativity. You need to remember how highly favored you are. And the reason you are so highly favored is because once we experience that new birth experience, the Holy Spirit comes to reside deep within us. Ephesians 2 says this, that you and I have become dwellings where God lives by God's Spirit. And if you think about that long enough, it's kind of overwhelming. And that's what makes us highly favored, because Mary experienced that in her life when God spoke to her and said, the Almighty will overshadow you. The Almighty will come upon you. It's the same thing for the Christians. The Almighty comes upon us. The Almighty overshadows us. And that's how we are able to fulfill our call in our life. C.S. Lewis said this about God living inside of us. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he is doing. I do remember that. I remember as 11-year-old when God came to live in me, and I felt different. I felt peaceful. But then things started to get a little rough and a little shaky. And that's what Lewis says. He says, but all of a sudden, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is God up to in my life? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought. He's throwing in a new wing. He's putting on an extra floor. You thought you just wanted to live in a cottage, but he is building a palace because he intends to come and live inside of you. And you need to remember that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, is living deep within us. The passage says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, living for you and I." What we are doing with our life, it's our existence on this earth. The Greek word is bios, God's gift of physical life, and the way a person invests or spends that physical life. For the shepherds, they were just existing. And I can't imagine what it was like to be a shepherd. And many of you are probably thinking sometimes the mundaneness of your work, or you're tired of your work, or you're chalking off the days on the calendar so you can retire. Sometimes just living takes its toll in our life. And I'm sure the shepherds were no different, because they lived in the elements. In the summer it was too hot, in the winter it was too cold. They had to scrounge for their food. They had to find their food wherever they were taking the sheep. There was constant danger of not only robbers, but of lions and bears that would come and that would kill the sheep. But more often than not, when God comes to us, when God speaks to us, he comes in that mundane period of our life. When I was 16 years old, I was a waitress and a short order cook at Mr. T's cafe. It was quite the challenge. My mom just rolled her eyes. She's like, "You know, you can't cook." And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to do it." So I learned to cook real quick. But anyways, I remember going and sitting down. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon, and I was exhausted. I knew I had to do something different, because I was not going to make it the next 45 years as this, okay? I needed to get into college ASAP. This was not it. But anyways, and I wasn't thinking about that, but I remember just sitting down, and I was a 16-year-old girl. I had just got a little car, and I remember always looking out at it, make sure it was still there, nobody had hit it or something, because I was proud of it. And all of a sudden, God called me into ministry. It was the most profound thing. And I can't describe it to you, but God came in and God interrupted my thoughts, my little 16-year-old mind thoughts, and just spoke to me about serving him and being called into ministry. And just how the passage says that when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were filled with joy, but they were also afraid. Same emotions came over me. I became filled with just joy. Wow, to serve Christ. And I became overcome also with fear, because how was I going to serve Christ? I'm only 16. What am I going to do? And all I could ever picture as a 16-year-old was them dropping me by a plane into Africa, you know, and I'd be ministering to the people of Africa. But that's how a 16-year-old's mind works. But when God speaks to you, it's a thought that you do not think, or perhaps never would think, in your own life. The passage continues and says this: "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." You're probably thinking to yourself, well, if I had a 10-foot angel appear to me and say, "This is what I want you to do," I think I would get it. And we want signs. We ask God for signs. But if you think about the Christmas story, really, what kind of sign was this? They were supposed to go to Bethlehem and see an 8-9 pound baby wrapped in rags lying in a manger. That was their hope for the world. And it wasn't even the world then, it was just the Jewish race. This was the kid who was going to overthrow the Roman government, born in a stable wrapped in rags. This is who's going to offer salvation. The shepherds could not have grasped the full impact. And they said to one another, they said, let's go see this thing that has happened. If you and your wife had a baby and your husband came in and said, where's that thing you had? Chances are baby two would not come along, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? They use this language, let's go see this thing. I thought, oh God, why are they calling you a thing? Because a thing is something we can't name, or something we don't want to name, or something we don't want to explain. See, they couldn't grasp the magnificence of what God had spoke to them. And when I was a little 16-year-old girl, I couldn't grasp what God was telling me. You know, I was just probably wanting to go home and go out on a date or something, or call a friend, because we didn't have phones where we could text all the time, and the owner always watched us when we were on the phone. But a sign. We want God to always give us a sign. But then we expect the sign to be some type of earth-shattering, mountain-moving experience. I remember vividly when I was 22 years old and I was finishing my bachelor's degree. And I knew God had called me. I knew, and He was nurturing that call. But as I had told you before, I had wanted to be a lawyer so bad. And I remember exactly where I was praying in my bedroom, and I was kneeling down, and I felt this, just this great, great peace come upon me. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had called me and God was going to use me, but that God did not have law school in my future. No law school in my future. But I couldn't see that because I'm the type of person that has to have everything organized, kind of set out, and I knew where I was going to be at in my life because I had always wanted to make something of my life. You can simply cannot pass up an overwhelming sense of peace as a sign from God, or as God speaking to you, or as God answering you. That is one of the ways that God talks to us. And even though I chose to go to law school and it turned out disastrous, God took all of that and worked it for my good, except the little matter of paying the $18,000 back, which I had to do. You know, that was the consequence of my choice, which I paid back. But God, even though you think, well, Chris, why did you mess up? Well, you know, sometimes it's easy to mess up. And that's why I'm telling you this morning. Don't discount that peace that comes upon you. Don't ever discount it. I remember as we look back at the passage, the question that Mary asked the angel, how can it be? How can this be possible? We have to wait and allow God to open up each and every phase to us in our life. Learn to live in the now, not, geez, if I don't go to law school, then I'm going to miss my opportunity, and not planning everything in your mind, not living by your emotions. We live by our emotions way too much. We need to live in that will that God put deep within us, the desire that God creates. The Old Testament is just filled with signs and wonders. You know them. God, delivered the Israelites from Egypt and all the signs and the plagues, and God opened up the Red Sea. And there's one prophet, Elijah, and he was just a great man of God, and God did many miracles through him. And God spoke to him, and he said, Elijah, I'm going to pass by you. And all of a sudden, this great wind came as Elijah was standing on the mountain, and Elijah thought, God must be in this great, great wind that's passing by. But God wasn't in the wind. Next, there was an earthquake that shattered and rumbled the mountain. And Elijah said, God has to be in this earthquake. But God wasn't in it. Next, there was a fire that came, and Elijah said, surely the Lord Almighty is in this fire. But God wasn't in it. And then as Elijah was standing there, a gentle whisper came, and he drew his cloak over his head as God passed by. And that's how God speaks to us. He's not going to come and knock the remote control out of your hand, okay? Or the book. Usually not. Now, I have had God interrupt my thoughts while I'm reading. But God speaks to us in those gentle, gentle whispers. Oftentimes, when we're going through some of the deepest and the darkest moments of our life, and I can remember my own being crying out to God and saying, God, you have got to help me through this. And I would just hear these words go through my soul, trust me, trust me. And it gave my soul and my life peace. That's how, usually how God comes to us in our life. Next, the passage says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem. One thing I had to learn in my life is that I couldn't hold on to everything. I wanted to try to hold on to my accounting position and perhaps just pastor part-time. I wanted to try to hold on to my house and because I had a mortgage on it, and how was I going to pay for this house, and how was I going to do this? Then there was retirement, and if I became a minister, how was I going to pay the debts? My salary was going to drop. And you know, it was no different for the shepherds, because when they chose to go to Bethlehem, what did they do with the sheep? They just had to leave them. They simply had to leave them. Don't ever let things in your life hinder you from serving Christ. Homes, God can give you homes. God gave me back my home. God brought me back to Mansfield. Family, I know it's hard to leave family, very hard, because the cause of Jesus Christ is well worth it, and you don't have to figure it out in your mind. You just have to respond like Mary did. I am the Lord's servant. Let's pray. God, we're grateful. We're grateful for how you indwell us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. I asked you now to begin to stir up those dreams and desires in us, to speak to our hearts in that gentle whisper. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.